Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, and this is Larry Lazar, host of Live with Larry, and yes, all right, everything's cool. Let me just get, come on, call into the show. All right. And you're on Live with Larry.
Hello?
Can you hear me? Hello? You're on Live with Larry.
Hey. Sam here. I'm here loud and clear. How you doing, Larry?
Beautiful, beautiful. You got my email, I trust?
Oh, I did. I did. And I appreciate you having me on the show, as always. Thank you so much. It's a true honor.
Well, you're, like I say, you're a good co-host. And in the White Rapper is going to be coming on in a little while.
All right, perfect.
So what's been going on? I understand you've been you moved out to California, and you're now and you're doing all kinds of stuff with your documentaries.
Yeah, I just moved out to California. I'm kind of back and forth between Los Angeles and New York, you know, for work, and been working on some cool projects lately for Live from the Streets, you know, which is my series and also production company with the homie Mr. Green. So we've been working on some stuff for Green Label, which is Mountain Dew's record label, putting out some new Live from the Streets episodes. If you go to greenlabel.com/videos, they will pop up. So we've been going all over the place. We did like 6 episodes, the first one was in Atlanta, the second one was in Miami, and we're essentially doing documentaries where we collect sounds from different cities and then turn the sounds into beats that really represent the city, and then we'll get a rapper to rap on it and make a whole track and document the process. So it's something we've been doing for a couple of years now, and just that's what I've been really busy with, and it's super fun.
That sounds
but
great.
I always have my other projects too. Yeah, for sure. Super fun.
Yeah. Hey, White Rapper.
Yeah. Yo, yo, yo.
Hey, what's up, Sean?
What's going on? White Rapper in the house. I don't know if Sean is, but White Rapper in the house.
White Rapper in the house. Yeah. All right.
What's going on? My co-host Larry Lodge, and we got Sam Lippin here from Live from the Streets.
What's up, gentlemen?
All right.
Everybody out there, if you'd like to call in, the phone number is Larry.
347-637-1843.
Give us a call. Let us know what you're thinking.
So, what's been happening with what's been going on with the White Rapper?
Well, I've been thinking more and more. I understand that we're trying to get into more direct response, which is the actual making the commercial. Infomercial and getting it put into markets where you would get a direct response from the money laid out to that market to get the commercial played. I understand, Sam, you're working on something like that?
Not sure.
Infomercials?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I've been doing some editing for commercials and infomercials and things like that. And kind of like, all kinds of stuff. You know, if it's a cool product, we'll make a commercial for it. So if anyone's out there and wants a commercial, happy to help.
Well, that's actually one thing that I kind of specialized in a while back. One of my specialties was speaking to the media buyers who purchased the advertising time in different areas across America. So let's see, if you had America as a map, and then in each different state, you would go into each state and you would find which market you could purchase cheapest advertisement space for playing your infomercial. Now, an infomercial can play anywhere from 15, 20 minutes, 45 minutes, half hour. You can buy it for a whole hour if you really could afford it. And in some markets years and years ago, you could literally buy a 45-minute infomercial spot for like $50 on like an ESPN2 in like Missouri at 3 or 4 in the morning. So what a friend of mine did, who became a millionaire after doing this, he would basically play it like the stock market, or he would play it like a craps or a roulette table. He would put $50 on ESPN2 from 2 to 4 a.m. in the morning, and he would buy up those 2 hours for $100, and he would try and sell over $100 in product to see how much money we get back. Most of the time, he would figure out which spots in America that he could sell the most product and then just focus in on those areas after a while. Some spots, ridiculously enough as it sounds, you could get for as low as like $10 for like 20 minutes. So they would have a 20-minute infomercial, they would have a 40-minute infomercial, they would have, you know, and then so on. What they would do is they would invest, say, $10,000 across the board from New York to California. And out of the $10,000, they would probably bring in, you know, they would double their money or triple their money, and then they would just keep doing that over and over and over. You'd be surprised at how many times you sell a product in one area, you could sell it again there. Culture or a certain type of, like down in New Orleans, he sold a lot of these particular infomercial products that dealt with cooking utensils. And in New Orleans, it seems to be a very big place where people like to cook a lot, you know. So he was cooking utensils heavy duty in that one area. And then, like, say, he sold the car washing product in another area, but he sold them mostly in areas that were hot, where people's cars would be, you know, where people would worry about if their car looked nice and so on and so forth. Uh-huh. So you kind of...
It's like targeted advertising.
Right, and the media buyers, like, say, Coppola Media is one that you would go to, and they're, like, the biggest, and they do Sears, Ford, you know, big companies, Johnson & Johnson.
Boys.
And, you know, people would go to them with a couple million dollars, and then they would buy up, like, a year in advance. And that actually becomes quite a monopoly in some markets where, you know, just that commercial is being played over and over and over to the point where people are like, well, the heck, I'm going to go buy it. You know, people don't realize the more we hear a song, the more we hear a commercial, the more we see something, even if we don't like it, it just somehow subconsciously gets
in
our memory. And as we go to the store, we reach out, we grab it, we put it in our cart, and we don't even know why.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, that's super important.
Any idea, Larry, why our psyche does that?
Well, I mean, repetition is the mother of skill. It's also and we keep hearing the same thing over and over again. I mean, we always, you know, I'm sure there are songs or themes or whatever that, you know, that come through your mind and all that, you don't always know why. I mean, like when you're a kid, sometimes the Batman theme comes to mind, you know, from the 60s series, whatever it is. And when you're going out and looking for a particular item, that annoying theme song, whatever.
How did
like
it
whether
go?
It's,
how did it go, Larry?
It was Batman, Batman, Batman.
No, 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 Batman. No, 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 no.
I forgot the
no,
no, no, no, no.
Batman.
But when you go shopping and you're looking for cereal for the kids, all of a sudden you get the theme song in your head for Fruit Loops. So you buy Fruit Loops, follow your nose, or something like that.
Yeah.
Toucan Sam.
Toucan Sam, that's right.
The one and only.
Now, for health reasons, it's not good to go for those kinds of cereals because it's mostly sugar and chemicals. But I digress. But they do have some nutritional value in them. Not a lot, though.
Yeah, no, I believe that probably cereals and most packaged products are probably responsible for most heart disease and diabetes in America today.
Oh, not to mention the obesity epidemic. There's so much. I mean, because a lot of the processed foods are engineered to make you hungry and thus buy and eat more food.
You know, the person who sued McDonald's because they got obese from eating McDonald's actually won the lawsuit.
I'm not surprised. I mean, they won a Big Mac. What's really interesting is that there's a documentary out there that called Supersize Me. It's about a guy I would definitely recommend seeing that, where a guy who's in good health goes on a steady diet of fast foods, and his health, you know, plummets to like ridiculously. He gets all kinds of medical issues.
And there's also another great movie out there by Doug Stanhope called Super High Me, which is about a guy.
Oh yeah.
Who does comedy, and he did most of the comedy for a few months while he was getting high, and then he stopped getting high, and his comedy was just about as funny, but not as funny. So he realized that being high, he was a lot more funnier.
Yeah, I mean, some people, unfortunately, have to resort to those kind of things in order to feel something, to feel that they're doing something positive.
Well, like eating at McDonald's, you know, they're fulfilling some kind of a need to feel, you know, happy for eating a Big Mac and fries. Some people love it.
Yeah, I mean everything has its good points and bad. Oh, let me see here. We got a caller in here. Yes.
Yeah. Hello.
You're on live with Larry.
This is Larry.
Larry,
my Hello. Name is Lou.
Hi,
Lou.
How you doing, Lou? Welcome to the show, Lou.
You know, I'm not entirely sure that I'm comfortable sharing my last name, so can we just go with Lou?
Sure.
Lou is
we'll
fine.
Call you Lightning Lou.
Lightning
Lou,
how you doing?
Fine.
You know, big fan of the show, long-time listener, first-time caller.
Whoa, this is how it's done, thank God.
As long as it doesn't turn into the Jerry Springer show.
No. I'm calling in to talk about what's going on, you know, in my world. I don't know if you wanted to coach me.
All right, well,
let's go, Larry. Lay it on the line.
Talk to me.
I've been married to my wife, Dawn, for 20 years now. We live in Perth Amboy.
Nice area.
I have a son, Lou Jr., another son, Tony Jr. Don't ask why it's Tony Jr. You know, just give you a hint, I raised them. My daughter, Denise, just had a sweet 16 over in Sayreville.
Sounds nice.
It's nice, but she did have a yeast infection.
Oh, no.
Not again.
I'm gonna kill the Jew gene that gave it to her.
I think it was McDonald's.
It could have been anything.
Also, I was playing the numbers at that exact Piscataway store. God bless if I wasn't two numbers away.
Oh, no. You missed the Powerball by two numbers?
Two numbers.
Two Holy numbers. What is,
did you have the Powerball?
His name's Vinny. He needs a transplant. Not the type he needs to get alarmed about, but the guy has just gone overboard on his prostate.
Oh, no.
All right.
Oh, wow.
I got some problems going on with my water heater. There's rust in the water. They're saying it's not safe. That's why my sons all have nipples. Extra nipples.
Extra? How many extra nipples?
Extra nipples?
Well, currently one each, but it looks like there's a second one forming on each of them.
Whoa.
And that's from the rust in the water? Yeah, you know, I think Lou Jr. really likes to drink the tap water. Tony Jr., he likes these sports drinks, you know, these Gatorades, the new Estros of War.
Whoa.
I actually,
oh,
when
wow.
I was younger, I was actually forming a second anus. So what we did, instead of me drinking the tap water, they made me drink the toilet bowl water, and it went away. You know, I'm pretty sure that my wife is carrying on with the Negro from down the street.
Oh, that guy.
Okay.
I knew it. I just forgot how it works.
Light and Lou. Love you. Firth Amboy coming through.
Light and Lou from Firth Amboy. Let's, all right, Light and
Lou. Light and
Lou's
wife.
I'm also.
Kids like burning coal.
Also,
how you doing?
Also,
all right,
also,
you let him go.
Yes.
All right,
I made a high quality
bolognese. Long time, big fan.
Have a good one.
Yeah, made a high quality bolognese.
You're letting him go. Here we go.
Okay, let's get somebody a little.
A little out there. You know, he's
still
going
out there.
Love it. Seems like a good guy, though. You know.
Yeah,
he's like a great guy
until he starts with the racing.
They got a little yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
besides
yeah.
That was
his wife did that last fuck to him too, if I remember correctly. So
what?
His wife did that to him last month, also right before Capitanic Gold.
Yeah. All right, so make sure you write his number down and. Let's keep off here. All right, who else we got out there? Here's the phone number. Lightning Lou, thank you very much for the call. But the lives of our show does not go that way.
Let's try to get a little higher class. Like I say, I'll 347-637-1843.
Larry Bizarre Show with Gistful's White Rapper and Sam Lippin. Give us a call. Let me know how you're doing.
So I know we do have an upcoming guest at 8:30 that I told to call in, and he produced a documentary about Vermin Supreme. Are you guys familiar with Vermin Supreme?
No, I never heard of about Vermin Supreme.
So, yeah, Vermin Supreme has been running for office as the president of the United States since the 80s. He runs every year, and... As a fringe candidate, and he wears a boot on his head, and he believes that everybody in America should have a free pony, and a zombie fueled economy is the way to go.
So
there's a documentary about him, and this dude Steve made the documentary, and he said he'd come on the show a little later to talk about the documentary. But Vermin's actually become pretty famous. His videos have gotten over millions of views online, and he's, you know, people like Vice have done things on him and other places. So he's pretty big. He's a cool, but yeah. So
I'll be more than happy to see when he calls in. And of course, here's someone trying to call in, and a bunch of ones on there. Get a real phone number.
Well, he's calling through a computer hacking thing, a computer hacking tool for any phone callers use, and that's how, let me guess, your name, Lightning Lou?
That probably was Lightning Lou.
Your wife hang out in Newark.
Yeah, why not, right? Let's get away from Lightning Lou for a while.
So, Larry, what do you do, my friend?
Well, like I say, I mean, we got... There's a lot of stuff going on out there. I mean, people are one of the things I like to do is I like to keep abreast of all the crazy things that go on sometimes. I mean, you listen to some of the things that go on, you should be in stitches for most of your life. There are scam artists out there that try to say, "Oh, you want a contest, but you got to send us $3,000 to collect your $2 million." Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all this other crackpot stuff. Oh, here we go. Somebody in the 609 area code.
609. Welcome, 609, to the Larry Lazar Show.
You're on live with Larry. Who's this?
Hello, is this Larry?
Yes, Larry.
Yes, this is the Larry Lazar Show. What's your name? Caller?
Well, it used to be Bruce, but nowadays people call me Kate.
Ha ha, it's Light and Lou.
Ah, Light and Lou again. Actually, especially since it was a 732 area code for the first time.
So did you get how his name was Bruce, but now it's Jenner? Or Jenny or whatever?
Yeah.
Oh,
or
hey,
Caitlin.
Yes. I'm trying to distance myself from my ex-wife and my children.
Oh, the children, Denise and little Tony or whatever it was?
You know, whoever this guy is that's on the show with Sam is even more of a transgender than I am. You should just jump, you know, just put him in a car that's on fire and just shed it off the bridge.
Yes, that's what we're talking about.
Thank
we're
you
about
very much.
Positivity and powerful movement.
Yes.
Powerful bowel movements. Thank you.
Yeah, that guy definitely sounded like what comes after a bowel movement. Let's flush it.
I guess.
Yeah.
I thought it was a photo shoot and a microphone.
I suppose. It could be anything, right?
Sure.
Yeah. You get a lot of wackos out there too, but sometimes even the wackos can be entertaining to be kind.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hello? Larry Live? Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day. That was back in May.
Yeah, well, that's the only thing I could say in that voice. So anyway,
very
Larry.
Good, good.
Larry and Sam, I was wondering if you were talking about taking the show to a video level.
I'm definitely for that.
I think it's a great idea.
Turn me on to something a way of doing that. And I think that
figure this out, and we'll get it done for sure. I think that's a great idea. I think we need to take it to video at some point soon. So.
Yeah, I think the potential for viewers would probably jump tremendously if they could see our beautiful faces.
For sure.
Well, some people, why not? Some people
have a great face for radio.
Yeah, great face for radio. Absolutely.
So,
you got to do what you got to do. And
you're on Live with Larry. What's your name, caller?
Well, so far I don't see any other callers yet, but who knows? I'm sure we'll get a few others. What empowering thing happened this past week for you guys? What was the most empowering thing that happened this past week?
I thought Justin Timberlake's speech on the Children's Choice Awards was the Teen Choice Awards. Anybody see that?
I didn't get a chance to see that.
He spoke about how the word impossible is what small people use, small-minded people who don't think outside the box. And the word impossible is only for those who don't want to try and complete a task. They say, oh, that's impossible, it can't be done. But things that are impossible that can't be done, people like me, Sam, and yourself, Larry, we get done because we stay positive. We always stay positive, and we think with the ultimate possibilities that connect with something that seems impossible. The possibilities are endless.
Possibilities are always endless because you think something's impossible, and lo and behold, somebody accomplishes that once impossible task. Johnny Weissmuller, a swimming phenomenon. A number of other people. There was somebody with the 215 area code.
215.
You're
live with Larry.
Hi, Sam.
Go ahead, caller. What's your name?
This is Amanda.
Hi,
hello,
Amanda.
Hello. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Good.
This is my cousin Amanda calling in, and she's actually just got her master's degree as a social worker.
Yes.
Wow. So you could ask, she would be an expert of anything social worker related. She's awesome. She's been working in like shelters and helping out kids and all over the Philadelphia area. So Amanda, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you've been up to?
Well, really let's see. I'm working in North Philly, and I work with kids ages 3 to 21, and I'm a youth and family counselor. But I used to be
awesome.
A hairdresser. Come here, Ziggy. I'm sorry. Come on.
Oh, Ziggy's on the phone. Hello, Ziggy.
Ziggy's on the phone.
That's awesome.
But Sam's the real superstar, and now he moved to California, so I had to call in.
No, you're
the
superstar. I mean, what you're doing is much more important than anything I'm doing. Like, I think helping out kids and people the way you are is amazing.
Yeah, but
so,
live
from
the streets has helped a lot of people, too.
Amanda, that's a very noble profession. Appreciate
Thank you.
It certainly is. I always had I always misunderstood what social workers actually did. Because,
me too.
I used to think that they fought causes just to fight causes, but pull families apart just to flex muscles, but I've met some social workers out there that really are out to do some good for the world and for their communities.
Okay.
And so I got to say that I got a brand new respect for people in that profession.
Thank you. So, I do
so,
too.
So,
it changed my life. I met new friends that I'll keep forever.
I believe that Ziggy was a rescue, just to show you the compassion that Amanda has for humanity.
Ziggy
as well
was
as...
a rescue, but now
he's
a purebred.
Well, as long as Ziggy is loved, that's all that counts.
Yes.
Now, was he named after Ziggy Marley or Ziggy the cartoon?
Well, kind of both. We picked his name because our other dog's name's Aaliyah, and we couldn't decide on anything else, so I got my mom to pick Ziggy so it would be A to Z.
Whoa. That is awesome.
That is awesome.
Have you taken Ziggy to work with you?
No, he probably wouldn't do so well. He's really scared. Even just the city would be really scary for him, but I think Aaliyah would do really good.
Because I think August 12th is Take Your Pet to Work Day.
Well, August 12th is also Fun Day at the program I work at, so that could be really fun.
Look at that, Fun Day.
Yeah, and the guy that's doing yoga, I think, canceled, so maybe Aaliyah can be the therapy dog.
This is what I'm talking about. You know, a lot of people who people don't realize that live in buildings in New York City. A lot of people have pets, and a lot of buildings where pets are illegal. But if you actually go to your doctor and explain to him you have PTSD or some other ailment, you can actually get your dog written off as a service dog.
That's awesome.
And
yeah.
They can't. Like in some buildings, people will get an extra tax on their rent, like $20 a month, $25, $30 a month, if they have a pet in their apartment. And if you go down and you speak to your doctor and you tell your doctor, look, I need this dog, it helps me with my anxiety, it helps me with my, you know.
Well, that's just like an extra step. That's like in Philadelphia and anywhere in Pennsylvania, you still have to pay that extra $25 to $50 to have a pet, but you don't have to go to the doctor to explain why.
But not if it's a service pet. If it's a service pet, then he can actually come into restaurants with you. And,
well, that's
and
true,
go.
Too.
Yeah, there was a
but
story.
But we
about
had Luna, who was a quote-unquote service dog. We got in lots of trouble with her.
Luna? Did Luna ever get ticks? Luna? Ticks?
Hello.
Hello. You're live with Larry.
So tell me about Luna. This sounds interesting.
Well, what's really interesting, it's my cousin Sam's, or Jonah's dog. It was, but...
Oh, I remember. His middle name was Luna, right?
His name was Luna. Her name was Luna. And recently there was like a guy, like there's always people standing in the middle of the streets in Philadelphia, like, you know, want, asking for money or food. And like recently there was a guy that was like traveling across the United States, like right off of the Aramingo exit, and off to the side was all of his luggage, and there was a dog, and it looked exactly like Luna, like just like chilling, like laying on the fur, like all in his luggage. It was weird.
Oh,
I don't think
does,
it was Luna. I was going to ask him, like, hey, is that dog Luna by any chance? Who knows?
So
what the
do
answer
you have any inspiring stories from your work that you know you can tell us? I know, of course, you don't need to say any names. Of course, not say any names or anything.
Right.
Is there anything that stands out?
I don't know. I think at this point, like, I mean, like what Larry was saying about the profession and social workers having to tear children's and families' lives apart, I mean, that's definitely, like, a real part of the job that's really, like, sucky. But it's really nice when you can bring families back together or see a kid who is in an abusive home be in a loving home. It doesn't always happen. It's not always that easy. There's like a lot that has to go on before that, but just to get a kid or a youth or a family like back in stable condition after crisis, like that makes the job worth it.
I would
That's
guess
awesome.
At some point I would guess
that
at some
awesome.
Point Amanda I would guess at some point Amanda if there's smoke there's fire and there's a reason why you were called there.
Yes.
And then when you get there, you assess the problem. You assess, you know, you see if the kids are dirty, if they have marks on them, if they look like they're malnourished. You know, you take a look around, you see if the house is clean, if it looks like, you know, there's too many animals or whatever, the person's not taking care of the children properly, then that's when you guys step in.
Right, and I'm not in, like, the DHS, like, CUA system. Like, Philadelphia has its own, like, Department of Human Services. Like, every state does. But, like, so I don't work for them. I work alongside them sometimes if I have to. But it's a lot of advocating because a lot of these people have, like, 20 different agencies that they have to answer to, and none of the community agencies interact with each other. So the person's just left with, like, a false sense of that everything's going to be good.
And then, of course,
so,
you recommend them counseling and to see psychiatrists and stuff like that.
Yes. Yeah, where I work is actually like a child psychiatry clinic.
Really?
Yes. I know, it's not that motivational. It depresses most people, so...
No, but the fact that you're able to go to work every day and help these kids hopefully build a better life for themselves, I gotta say that's something to be admired.
And Amanda as well, you didn't just fall into this job. You went to school for many years, got a master's degree, obviously. The level of intelligence that you were taught in school is why you're able to help people make better decisions that they can't make for themselves.
Thank you. And the goal is to always help them make their own decisions, never be the professional teaching down at them, because I think that a lot of people get that too. Like, they get caught up in situations that are outside of their control, and then all it is like cops, you know, like telling them what to do. So I try really, really hard not to be that person.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, a lot of my social worker friends are out there on the streets doing, like, a lot of really awesome things, so I'm glad I picked it. I don't know. Let's see. Well, there's a lot of stuff going on with the, you know, with the Democratic National Convention, obviously, being in Philly recently. I don't know. I'm still trying to get live from the streets to come to my work.
Live from the street?
Yeah.
With Mr. Green?
Mm-hmm.
I see.
That would be good.
I want the kids to sing. I'm going to start to teach them, like, that Nas song, I can. Like, because they always want to listen to, like, actually, they don't even know what they want to listen to half the time. So I want to start to infiltrate, like, positive music into their life.
Well, that would be great.
No better place to do that than here at the Live with Larry Show.
Absolutely. And And like I say, I mean, you could always tell somebody that's heart is really in it. I mean, I keep remembering we say teach the kids to sing. I'm thinking of that old Coca-Cola song, teach the world to sing and furnish it with love and all that stuff.
Oh yeah.
Remember that song?
I do, vaguely. I can remember the commercial and like, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was a good song, and we were talking about tunes going through your head. And also, for all you listeners outside, you can call in, join in the conversation at 347-637-1843. And we got some really good people here. And also, when you call in, make sure you call from an actual phone with an actual phone number. I know that. Never thought I'd have to say that out loud, but.
Well, no. Now they have Google Voice, so you can pretty much change your number on a whim, which is weird.
Yeah, it is kind of weird.
My phone doesn't have enough storage for it, so right now I have a 4-year-old who memorized my number and calls me incessantly. I didn't know a 4-year-old could memorize a 10-digit number so quickly.
Kids, believe it or not, children have a keener memory span than most adults.
That's interesting. They have a shorter attention span, but yeah, probably a longer memory.
Longer memory. In fact, they could remember all kinds of things. Growing up, I could remember phone numbers, combinations, and whatnot. And then when I got into my 30s and 40s, I just, you know, I kind of lost a good chunk of that. But back up until like high school, college, I remember being able to rattle off a phone number that I knew like 3 years ago. Today,
that's true, too.
So
well,
much.
Then also, I think, like, having digital phone numbers and cell phones, like, we don't have to remember numbers like we used to.
We don't. That's
like,
right.
I sometimes don't even remember my own number because I don't need it ever. But, like, yeah, no, it's true. I used to have a better memory when I was young, too. I have some hypotheses on why that's changed, but I guess it's just getting older.
Yeah. I mean, It's just a part of life.
Yes.
It's just a part of life. But like I say, what's really cool is that we need to find ways of tapping in our inner strengths. One of the things that I talk about in my coaching is that it's not therapy. People often confuse the two. A therapist goes in and concentrates on the problem and concentrates on, and you go through like 20, 30 years on a couch bad-mouthing your parents.
And there's a solution-focused therapy, which is a different model, but go on. I hear what you're saying, and I like it, so continue.
I mean, you have the Dickensian thing where you're looking at something else, but the thing is, The theory behind a lot of the psychology is that people are broken.
Right.
And need fixed. But not everybody's broken. Sometimes all that's needed, rather than taking a whole bunch of chemicals and going through a whole bunch of psychoanalysis saying when your parent hit you, you know, spanked you or whatever it was, is affecting you 30 years later.
Right.
Doesn't make sense. But there's some
validity to that if you're at the point in your life that you can actually sit down and manage that information and build it into your identity. But I think, what I do is follow, like, a solution-focused model, which is just focus on the solution and help them come up with the solutions themselves. And like, if you can even just motivate somebody in a tiny way, that can be like a catalyst, like a butterfly effect for like a lot of things. But you're right. But there are some times that you do have to dig into the past.
I'm not saying you shouldn't dig into the past. They'll try to learn from it.
Right.
But the thing is, every experience we have, we interpret it in various different ways. I mean, two people can go through the same thing and interpret it differently.
Absolutely.
For example, I got a guy in Maryland that joined the chat room. Excuse me?
If you don't know your past, you won't know your future.
Yes, but the thing is, you need to also concentrate on the present.
Yes.
And remember, because the past already happened. Yes, there are people out there that took. I mean, you could have two people that went through solitary confinement, and for like a decade or two. One comes out, goes and is freed, and goes nuts. The other one comes out and becomes a golf pro. And before going to prison, he never played golf in his life.
True, it's a level of resiliency.
Exactly, you gotta have resiliency. You've gotta control your state. You gotta find.
But at the same time, solitary confinement is an absolutely horrible punishment and should be banned because most people that go in do come out crazy.
I'm not disputing that. However,
I know. I just had to add that in there because I just did a bunch of research
in the prison system, is it better to be in solitary confinement or is it better to be amongst other prisoners that may be out to kill you?
I think that there has to be an in-between because, yes, there are people that work or ask to be in solitary confinement or do things to get themselves in solitary confinement to be removed from that atmosphere, but that's a testament in and of itself that the prison systems aren't safe. And then you have people killing themselves in solitary confinement or outside of solitary confinement, and it's just not healthy. Like, most prisons these days are solitary confinement, like supermax prisons, like, pretty much every cell is solitary.
Yeah, well.
Which means 23 hours a day by yourself and 1 hour in, like, a cage outside exercising.
Right. And basically how that works is everything from a max to supermax is 23 hours in lockdown with 45 minutes out of your cell for recreation. But you can go to, like, a low or a medium. You're integrated with the rest of the prisoners, pretty much general population. Now,
yeah.
If you're a problem prisoner, then you would get put into some kind of PC, protective custody, where you'd be around other people who can't be around the general population due to either your charges or just the way you're interacting with the other prisoners. Mentally,
right.
It's very taxing from that perspective when a person is trapped in a closet for 15, 17, 20 years. Then you let them out into society, and what do they know but being trapped in a closet?
Yeah. Well, that's what's so scary about it.
I mean, being a social worker, you've taken psychology courses. I'm sure you're familiar with the Skinner box.
Yes, and there's also a lot of experiments that kind of show you how people that are in control when they already, like, have control or, like, they're given that position, that key, like, even if it's just an experiment, like, they take, like, the Stanford University experiment, and then there was, like, another one, too, very similar, and, like, these people were all, like, paid actors, and they wound up, like, you know, like, brutalizing and starving their actor prisoners, and the prisoners went on strike, like, but Skinner box, which part, that's like classic conditioning or operant conditioning. How does that relate?
No, I'm just, well, because what I'm thinking about the Skinner box is that you basically, I guess it's operative conditioning where you're seeing the exact same thing where people are shut away from any kind of contact.
Yeah.
And I think Dr. Skinner even did that with his own daughter. if I'm not mistaken.
Really? Yeah, no, I think you are right, but they never talk about that anymore. But that's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the greatest thing in the world. However, on to happier stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, so you're in northern Philadelphia.
Yes.
I used to know somebody in the Ronhurst area.
Okay, I grew up in the Ronhurst area. Well, until I was about 7.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah, I used to know somebody in that area, and I used to go there most weekends to visit my then girlfriend, but now she's doing other things.
What was his name?
Ha ha. Very, very, very good there, White Rapper. Very good, White Rapper. You got me.
So, yeah, I don't want to take up your whole show, but I just wanted to call and shout out.
I appreciate
Sam.
That. You've given us quite a bit, and I wanted to. And it's good to have intelligent conversation.
Yes, it is. Thank you for providing that for my evening.
There we go. All right. You have a powerful night.
You as well.
Take care.
Bye, Sam. Love you guys.
Love you too.
Take care. And here we go. And you are on Live with Larry. And you're no longer on Live with Larry. All right, the 908 person, if you want to call back in, please do so. If not, oh well. Oh, wait a second.
Sam Whitman, where's Sam at?
Hello, I'm Sam. Right here.
Where he is?
Oh. 09. Oh, okay. That must have been you. That must have been you calling in again. I don't understand
that
one.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well.
I got
doesn't
a question
matter.
For you guys.
Go ahead.
What do you think the meaning of life is? And I'd like to hear each of your answers to this question.
The meaning of life. I've been alive for 52 years. I still don't know what it means.
The meaning of life, according to what I've learned, is chop wood and carry water. Which means we're all ants on this earth, here to colonize, do what we got to do, keep it kind of moral, keep it kind of sane, get along, get through it, and then hopefully the aftermath and the after effects of what we do sustain humanity for many, many millions of years to come.
I like that.
Yeah. That sounds pretty good to me.
That's powerful.
You guys think there's any true meaning to life, like a actual definite answer? Because it doesn't seem like anybody really knows. It's your own interpretation, because there's no actual, it's not like there's a book that just gives you the true meaning of why we exist on this planet.
Well, it kind of reminds me of a George Burns movie. The first Oh God movie that he made. Where are you familiar with George Burns and the Oh God series?
No, I'm not. I'll check it out.
All right. Well, George Burns. He did Gracie, and he had the George Burns Comedy Hour and so forth. But he also did a number of different movies, and one of the movie series that he did was the Oh God series, where he co-starred with Bob Dylan, who played the part of a grocery store assistant manager, and he said something very profound, saying that oiling the cukes was dishonest and bup bup bup, and he gets a note saying, please visit me over here, and it said, and it was signed God, and then he gets a visit from God, who was played by George Burns, and he starts spreading the message, saying that God cares and all this, and he's labeled a nut, and it goes on and on. You should see this movie. It's funny, but it's got a message. But in one scene where he's locked in a hotel room, trying to answer a bunch of theological questions that were given to him by this evangelical minister, this TV evangelist, and they were written in Latin. And George Burns comes in the guise of a busboy, but nobody could see him but Bob Dylan, the Bob Dylan character. And the question was, what is the meaning of life? And he says, the meaning of life is exactly what you think it means, and nobody else has the right to say differently. So
that's interesting.
We have to come up with, it's very profound. We come up with our own meaning, because there's so many things in the Bible, in the Quran, and whatever other religious scriptures that exist out there, in the various religions that walk the earth, and everybody is saying something different, but the overall theme is pretty much the same thing: do unto others as you want done unto you, which is the golden rule that was actually paraphrased something that Hillel said four centuries earlier, and another, and it was just so many other things going on. Ooh, a 443 area code. And you are online with Larry, friend.
Well, thank you. I've been trying to call for the last half hour, but Skype kept hanging up on me because evidently you don't like Skype. You said so before.
Well, I like Skype. But the thing was, I look at the phone number that comes on. It's a series of ones. How are you, friend?
Then you need to remove Skype from the options on the talk radio.
That's a good idea, friend.
And don't knock Google Voice. A lot of people have Google Voice.
Okay. Well, I got a couple of amazing co-hosts over here. We got got Sam, and we got the White Rapper. And this is
I enjoyed the girl very much. And what she was talking about was social work. Not a lot of people know what they're doing when it comes to social work. You meet a couple that are very, very good, and the rest of them, well, you can take it or leave it. And unfortunately, there's too many people in this day and age who do need help, and they're unable to get it because government services don't want to pay for it. If you're screwed up or you need help, they want to let you fall through the cracks. I know a lot of people who have. On occasion, I've almost fallen through the cracks myself. But right now, things are going a little bit better. But, people have to also think about the good things that they have. Like on Saturday, we had a terrible, terrible storm here. And we had a town which is very old, and the host of the B&O Railroad, going back to the 1830s, it was the home of the very first railroad in the United States in Ellicott City, Maryland. And the old section of the city, which is over 150 years old, was destroyed completely. The entire blocks of the old section of town were underwater. Two people were killed, and the governor had to come down and declare the town a disaster area. And even though most of the town is modern and very big, very tall, the rest of the town was built on a hill. Everything else, though, in this one section was built lower down. So, of course, we had 6 inches of rain in 4 hours, and it just destroyed the entire downtown. So people have to count. Yes, people have to count their blessings that only their businesses were destroyed, that can be rebuilt, and not the and not more people died in it. Two people were killed in the flooding when they went out to try to help others, and it's just a very sad incident. But you know, so many people on Facebook were only talking about the damage, and then they were blaming. Oh, they're blaming the governor because he refuses to recognize global warming. Well, excuse me, it was not his fault. He has done a Herculean effort trying to get people assistance. But it's amazing how many people are blaming Trump, how many people are blaming Hillary, and losing sight of the human issue of disasters. And we're going to have more of these as we get in these superstorms, because as much as I hate to say it, people are not admitting that there is global warming, and there is a big problem.
There is a huge problem.
Yes, and a lot of it is trying to get people to admit that. You know, and one of the biggest problems in the world is that people are so concerned with the cost of trying to fix it that they're looking at the immediate cost and not thinking of the problem in general.
Yeah.
And the problem in general
is
eventually everybody is going to have to move inland because the coastlines are going to be rising, they're going to be flooding, and they're saying within 100 years, Manhattan will be underwater. And most coastal areas.
If we switch, we have a choice right now, and if we switched, we could entirely switch everything to renewable energy. You know, if we didn't think so much of the, I mean, the cost is of the planet. You know, that's the true cost. So we need to,
well, yeah.
We can pull all our resources into switching over to solar and wind, and I believe Costa Rica switched entirely to solar.
Well, you know, the biggest problem too is look at China. China is now like they said, Beijing is now like downtown Los Angeles in terms of smog. There are days in Beijing when you can't even go outside. And China refuses to talk about lowering carbon emissions, and so does Russia. And as long as you have the two of the biggest consumer countries or try to become consumer countries like that, there's no point in even doing anything because they're continuing to damage everything. Even if every other country went solar and fusion and everything else, those two would still be contributing to it. Instead of taking 100 years, it would just take 200 years or 300 years. You know, and you have people like Elon Musk trying to develop fusion and hydrogen-powered cars. And he's
doing a great deal of great work, Elon
and
Musk.
He's running into
Elon.
Running into a lot of resistance. Toyota tried to get a fuel cell developed in the car, but they could not build enough stations in their part of California to carry the fuel cell. And then the other problem they're having is disposal of it because it is nuclear.
You know, I think
that is a problem.
One good thing that we've had, you know, in the last decade is at least people are aware of solar. So, like, before 10 years ago, I didn't even hear about solar or renewable energy. And now, you know, if you drive through New Jersey or really any state, you will see solar panels. So I think there is some progress being made.
Well, I can go even better with that. Here in Maryland, we have an area called the Eastern Shore, and it's separated by one little tiny strip of land. You have to drive across the Chesapeake Bay to get over there. They have huge amounts of wind farms over there, windmills, and all kinds of things that power people's homes. And that is just utterly incredible. Yet, when people are trying to do things like get off the grid and say install a Tesla coil, did you know that the power company actually has the right to condemn your home and force you to get back on the grid and use their power?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a. I didn't know that, but I mean, I can totally see it. I mean, corporate greed is a huge problem.
No. It's the government. The government has told them that they have the right to actually condemn your home because they can't collect taxes and do things if people go off the grid. So you're not allowed to go off the grid. And there's another problem, because if everybody could use a Tesla coil, imagine how much energy you'd be able to save, because
you're
not burning fuel or anything. But the problem with
Tesla
coils,
they
just can't build for.
Are they proven at this point, or are Tesla coils
interesting.
Hold on one second,
guys. We got another caller in. You're on live with Larry.
It's my first time calling, bro. Listen,
hey,
man, what's up with Mr. Green?
Mr. Green!
Live on the streets, man.
Hey, how are you?
Yo, what's up, man? Where's Mr. Green at?
Where's Mr. Green? That's a good question. Sam, where's Mr. Green?
Who's this? Yo, what's up, man? This is Sean. This is my first time calling, man. I love the one you guys did, like, a show where you had this song. I think you called it, like, I Believe or something like that, right? With the homeless guys from New Jersey.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man. That was super inspirational, man.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah,
thanks.
Appreciate
Thank
it.
So much.
What's up, man?
Glad you like it.
How you doing?
That's good. It's good, man. I love to be on the show, man. That's awesome. I can't believe you guys picked up.
Oh, you're live right now, man. You're live with Larry. So what's a piece of advice that you've learned in your life, a lesson, something that you'd want to pass on to the next generation?
Man, I would say you have to be able to analyze the situation and act appropriately. You know what I mean? A lot of people get real hot-headed. You know what I mean? It's tough times out here right now. You know what I mean? Like everybody's struggling a little bit. Jobs aren't as plentiful. You got a lot of people coming into the city from outside of the city. They expect this big dream to happen, and it's not really working out. But always remember, you know what I mean? Keep your head about you. Be cool, and always be respectful towards people. You know what I mean? It's important because you never know when you're going to meet that man down the road, and he's going to be able to help you out. You know what I mean? Maybe people don't have time for you sometimes, but it's always nice to be able to hear somebody say, oh, hey, I remember you from blah and blah and such and such. What's up, man? Sorry I wasn't able to talk at this time. You know what I mean? You get a job. You know what? Worst comes to worst, you get a friend. You know what I mean? But people really ought to start, you know, recognizing situations and being respectful towards each other. Hey,
absolutely.
I like this.
That's nice.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's just about a matter of respect for most people, you know what I mean? Like, if you were to come up to me and say to me, hey, you know what time it is? And I say, sorry, I don't have a watch, you don't come up to me and say, well, then F you, right? Just because I don't have a watch, it's like, oh, no problem. You know, same thing goes for anything in life. Respect is key. Respect is number one.
That's a great life lesson, man. Respect is number one. Treat everyone with respect out there, you know, because you never know, we're all human, we're all existing in this at the same moment. We're all alive right now, you know, we're all family.
You know, Sam, like Aretha Franklin said,
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Yeah, exactly.
Very good.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man, I tell you, I work in the service industry, man. I see people all day long coming in, coming out, and you can automatically tell from someone's tone from the moment that they speak to you how you're going to feel about them, right? Sometimes people just don't know how to talk to each other, and you have to be the one to open that door. You got to be the one, instead of being compliant with the standard right now, which is fuck you, you're not me, right? Instead, maybe just try to seal somebody out, see who they are, you know what I mean? You'd be surprised after the first impression sometimes.
You know what? That's a really important lesson that I keep relearning is you can't judge a book by its cover. It's a really important lesson. I mean, I try to really put that in my, you know, in my mind, but sometimes you fall back into it, like judging a book by its cover. But every time I do, I'm totally, I totally misjudge. Like you can't judge a book by its cover. You got to talk to people, and yeah, it's a really important lesson.
Absolutely. And the people that are listening, man, it's not about, you know, like judging a book by a cover, that has nothing to do with physical appearance, right? It's not about, you know, what color you are. It's not about how you dress. It's not about any of that kind of stuff. What kind of, you know, maybe somebody speaks effeminate. You know what I mean? What does that matter in the end of the day, right? It's really just about how someone presents themselves to you, how they speak to you. You know what I mean? How they want to engage a conversation, right?
Yeah,
that's what I always thought.
Although one thing I must say, I've always felt that when people do meet you, even though they do kind of judge you on a book by its cover type of situation, as soon as these people look at you, they look at you from your sneakers up. You know what I mean? So that's one thing that I've always kind of tried to make sure. I always had a fresh pair of kicks on and a nice watch. And then from that point on, I was always able to kind of manipulate the situation to the way I wanted to, you know.
Well, let me
ask
you
this. That's a good lesson as well.
Are you familiar with all the bigotry that went on last year in Baltimore?
Repeat that again?
Are you familiar with what happened last year in Baltimore?
Yeah, for sure.
Of course.
Well, I was very disappointed over the weekend because they finally found all six of the cops not guilty.
Well.
And you mean to tell me
that's not surprising. That's really unfortunate and sad to. And it's sad for me to say that that's not surprising. I mean, it's a really interesting subject. I mean, we have such a problem with the criminal justice system in America. I think, you know, there's many improvements that really need to be made.
The best thing in the world, as he was saying, the other caller was saying, that the best lessons he's learned in life, well, one of the things I learned, there's two of them. One is that most smiles are started by another smile. And the other one is that the greatest thing you'll ever learn is just to love and be loved in return. And that was from Nat King Cole. And he's right.
Mm.
Because if everybody could learn to smile at one another and have a little more love in their heart, maybe we'd have more peace in the world.
Yeah,
that's great.
No, that's great. I believe that too, 100%. You know what I mean? It's just interesting because, I mean, you know, it would be beautiful if everybody could smile at each other. Sometimes you've had a bad day, you know what I mean? Sometimes you're off your element a little bit, and that does fall. It falls on the responsibility of the other party, you know what I mean? To be able to engage and to be able to say, hey, listen, maybe things aren't going so well with you. Maybe you haven't had a good day, you know what I mean? That doesn't mean that you're going to be a rough person while I'm speaking with you, you know what I mean? People tend to open up once they see that positivity. Once they see you engaging them, all of a sudden they soften up. Maybe they open up a little bit. Their demeanor changes, you know? I think that's beautiful.
I do it as much as possible. Even if I'm having a crappy day, I walk into the grocery store and I try to smile at everybody I meet, especially people who have such a sad or mad look on their face. I smile at them, and 9 times out of 10, I get a smile back. And I feel that's so important because maybe you've just changed someone's outlook on life.
I'm smiling right now.
Definitely.
I'm smiling at you, dear. I'm smiling at everybody listening. You know what I mean? It's great. It's great
smiling
to have an open
right now,
forum
guys.
Like this.
Well, you want to give everybody a virtual hug.
There you go.
Whoa, hey, Larry, whoa, don't touch me there, Larry.
Larry, don't encourage him.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, you're a Marilyn friend, you're absolutely right.
Well, you know, I want to compliment you. Your show has gotten a lot better than it used to be. Because it used to be you got every cracked pot in the world calling in, and now you're getting more focused audience.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, we get a couple of crackpots now and then, but thank goodness I got Sam and the White Rapper to help me balance it out.
Well, don't get me wrong. We're all a little crackpot. In regards, I think if we weren't a crackpot, we couldn't function. And I worry that it's people like Trump who are sane, and we're the nutty ones, and that's why we think different than he does. I mean, you have to look at it that way. I mean, I know people who were huge Sanders supporters, and like myself. Yet, I'm willing to admit that while I'm not the biggest fan of Hillary, that I would vote for her only because I don't like Trump. Whereas Bernie supporters would be like, they'd rather not vote than vote for her. And when people are saying, then he'll win, they're like saying, okay, then he'll win as long as she doesn't win. And I don't understand them because, well, they're supposedly standing for the same things. They hate her that much. I mean, the man is a bigot, and he never pays his bills, and basically he would bankrupt us if he got elected. Yet they're so against her that they'd be willing to do that. I don't understand people.
The caller from Maryland, what's your name?
I'm not giving it.
Okay. He doesn't want to give his name.
I'm not giving it. I just wanted to let you know something. Whether it's Sanders, Hillary, or Trump that gets in office, we all know that it's not them who's running the country. So
Right. Does
it really matter who is in office? Because we know what's going to happen to the country anyway.
It does to a degree, only because it's the, how do I explain it? It's what they represent in their party. I mean, the Republicans right now would be standing at least for bigotry and for hatred. They pick on the handicapped, they hate Mexicans, and they hate Muslims. And we've seen this because last year, I think it was a year before, one of the head Republicans admitted that the only reason they have never worked with Obama and never gave him what he wanted is because he was black, they hate him, and they made up that whole thing about the birth stuff. At least with the Democratic Party, there's a possibility of not having bigotry and some of these things, and that's how I look at it. Now, maybe I'm wrong at it.
Can I say something real quick?
Yeah.
Just to address that. So, I had an interesting, and we were talking about things that have happened recently that have kind of expanded our mindsets. I had an interesting experience recently where I was at a barbecue with a bunch of old friends, and I started talking to one of my friends who I know is a Republican.
How old were they?
Considered my friend was about, you know, he's in his 40s. And I've always considered myself, you know, my parents are kind of lefties, and I'm a Bernie Sanders guy myself. So anyway, we started talking, me and my friend who's, you know, a union guy, a Republican, you know, and we started talking about the issues, like, we started trying to figure out, you know, how we felt about politics. What do we differ on, and what do we feel the same way? Because we're good friends. We just have different politics. Now, we went through issue by issue. Now, let's forget Republican versus Democrat, right? This us versus them thing. Me and my friend, who, again, he thought he's a Republican. I think I always thought I was a Democrat, kind of, and liberal. And we talked issue by issue. We agreed on every single issue by issue. So I think I think that the Democrat versus Republican thing. Now let's put the politicians aside too. So let's say I think when it comes to citizens, there's a lot more common ground than we're led to believe. I think the us versus them, Republicans versus Democrats thing is a way that the game the media makes and the government makes to keep people separated. I think most people really want the same things in life that are, you know, they want to be left alone. They want to, you know, have job security. They want to kind of live a peaceful life, you know. Now the politicians are definitely scary, the Republican politicians. But you know what? If you follow the numbers, they're all paid by the same corporations. You know, they're all, both sides are pretty much sponsored by big money. So I think when it comes to citizens, there's a lot more common ground than we're led to believe. So I think that was something that really blew me away, having this conversation with my Republican buddy and realizing we really felt the same way about politics.
I'm voting for the guy
there's
with the boot on his head.
The guy
with the
boot
on his head. Yeah, I'm going to vote for him.
Well, I mean, here's an issue that it presents itself, is that while we all want the same things, because we do, we all want better quality of life is really what we aim for. And that's kind of part of the whole deal when we're voting for government from any level, from local all the way up to federal. The issue is that for one person to get what they want, let's say maybe somebody way upper crust, you know, 1%, for them to get what they want, the other 94% who aren't mid or higher, you know what I mean, will end up, someone's getting the shaft, you know what I mean? And that's also
there
the issue
to,
of a bipartisan government, because we have, we don't just have those two. I'm sorry, go ahead.
There has to be a way not to have the 1% controlling the money and the 1% controlling everything else, where the 99% are not in charge.
Absolutely. And that's the issue that I'm saying is with bipartisan government is, you know, we're not forced to vote Democrat or Republican.
No.
There are numerous parties. The issue is that where will you gather your strength if you're not backing one of the two super giants of the country?
Right. That's one of the problems. I mean, are people supporting the Libertarian Party? No. People don't support the Green Party.
Green? The Mr. Green Party?
Mr. Green Party?
No, the Green Party.
The issue is that is it our responsibility to force people into these two categories, this bipartisan government of Democrat and Republican, and by doing that, manipulate the minds of the people who are already in control? Is it on us to actually expect these people with these very solid foundations, these really solid ideas, to change to better us on our behalf, knowing that there is a possibility that may not suit them and their family or the people who have backed them and you know, given them so much money? Or is it on us to actually be able to come together and find a suitable party that will stand for some sort of social justice where the people who are working, I mean, I'm from New York, you know what I mean? I'm 29 years old. It's not easy being out here. Am I looking to start, you know, put a new fighter in the ring? Or am I looking to try to get somebody to understand where we're coming from to the extent where they may actually change their views?
It's funny you say that, Sean, from Brooklyn. It's funny you say that, because when it comes down to the actual balancing, teeter-totting vote, most people vote on who's got the better suit. That's what sometimes wins these elections.
But better isn't the best. And that's not always going to be in your best interest. We're always settling. How can we find a way to have somebody who's here to stand for us but understands the other side? You know what I mean? Who's able to look at this from six different angles instead of just two?
Well, the problem that I see, gentlemen, is that the fact that we're looking at the lesser of two evils. Yes, there are lots of different parties. There's a socialist, there's a green, there's a libertarian, there's even a communist party, and all these other parties. I mean, all these other countries. Israel has a slew of different parties, and each one
So does England, right,
with parliament.
We need that too.
We need something.
Well, not necessarily. That doesn't always work, because what you have to do in those other countries is why it can work and why it also doesn't work is because you have a coalition. The problem is that the party in control becomes in control only because they might do 51% of the elected. The problem is, if the other side doesn't agree with you, they may not pass the legislation that you want either. And in that case, you can have a lot of problems. But the worst is, if your party doesn't agree with you, then you've lost your authority, and then you have to call for new elections. And there's some countries that they could have a new election every 6 months, in theory. And in that regard, guess what? Then nothing ever gets done.
Well, nothing ever gets done here either.
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly. Politics does not work. I mean, the biggest fraud perpetrated upon a country is having a one-party system pretend it's a two-party system.
Yeah, that's true.
I read that
that's
somewhere
true.
On the internet.
You know, I think just to address your question or your thoughts earlier, I mean, I think that I kind of agree. Like, I think that the reason why a lot of Bernie Sanders supporters are not for Hillary is because it's because they're frustrated with the corruption that they've seen in this election. You know, with the voter fraud, with all the issues, and now with the leak that came out where the, you know, the Democratic Party didn't support Bernie Sanders. In fact, they were trying to derail his freaking
you know, derail him. So, so when you see that, you just, it frustrates people, and it makes them say, you know what, screw this entire system. You know,
primaries in a row.
You know what, listen to this, guys. What do you guys think about this? You have one day, it's a holiday, right? It's a holiday, and every single primary is in one day. It's a national holiday. You get it all done in one day, every state.
That would work.
Why does it have to be this drawn-out, ridiculous thing that – obviously, if they make it so hard to vote, I mean, working-class people can't vote when they're working a full-time job, and then it's not a holiday. If we could have a Labor Day, there's so many holidays that we have that, if there's Labor Day, there should be voting day. I don't see why that's not a thing.
There should be two voting days, primary and regular.
Toucan Sam for president.
Problem solved.
Toucan Sam for president.
You know what you do?
Toucan Sam for president.
Why don't you go on Facebook and suggest that to your friends and have them share it, and that might go viral. And other people might read that and get the same idea and actually do things, because so they claim social media can have great influence on what's going on.
No, you're right. I mean, that's actually a good idea. I should make a video about that, because I feel like videos are really shareable.
Why don't you put that up on...
You're listening to the Live with Larry Lazar, Sam Lippman, and the White Rapper Show. Give us a call.
And
give him the number.
And here's another, well, the number is 347-637-1843, and we got someone else that just joined us.
Okay, so can you guys hear me right now? I'm on air?
You're
on air.
Yeah, it's Steve Ondrick.
Steve, so this is actually the absolute perfect segue into an interview with Steve. So Steve put out an incredible documentary with presidential candidate Vermin Supreme, and I'll let him take it from here. It's really the perfect segue for the political conversation we're having. So, Steve, tell us about yourself and Vermin Supreme, for those who don't know about him, and your documentary.
All
right, I got to roll up and get off of the phone. I'm going to be listening. And, appreciate being on the show, man. Thank you for taking the call.
All right, man. Thank you so much, man. Call again.
Appreciate it.
Call at any time. Go ahead.
I appreciate the kind words, Sam. So you guys want to hear about Vermin Supreme in the documentary then?
Yeah, let's go.
Steve,
let
it rip, man. Tell us everything, because I only know about it. Let these guys know all about it. I don't know if they're familiar with Vermin and the documentary, so let's hear about it.
Yeah. Well, I think Vermin is most famous for being the presidential candidate who's known for wearing a 3-foot-tall boot on top of his head. He gained a lot of popularity back in 2012 when he appeared in a lesser-known candidate debate, and he poured glitter on anti-gay candidate Randall Terry and said that Jesus told him to turn Randall Terry gay. Vermin is generally a comedian and a political satirist, and he's been running for president more or less since about 1992. In 1988, he was living in Baltimore, and he started running. He ran for mayor there for a little while. After that, he ran for mayor of the Eastern Seaboard and emperor of the new millennium. And since then, he's been running for president on a series of fun and ridiculous political platforms, including he promises to give free ponies to every American if he's elected. And he promises to research time travel and to prepare for the zombie apocalypse. And beyond all of that, he also he has a big presence at a lot of protests, and does a lot of work sort of de-escalating tense situations in contexts where protesters and police are facing off.
Oh, wow.
And tell us a little bit about your documentary. Can you give us an overview
So the film that I made about Vermin is called Who is Vermin Supreme? An Outsider Odyssey. And we shot most of it during his 2012 campaign. Because what he does is he more or less follows the American electoral process, and he goes to the Republican National Convention, the Democratic National Convention, various political debates and stuff like that, and he stays outside of them usually, but sometimes he's able to get inside. And so the film primarily follows his 2012 campaign and his collaborations with Jimmy McMillan, the guy from the Rent is Too Damn High party, who was also a viral sensation back in 2010. his basic platform is that the rent is too damn high, and he wants to change that. And the film also follows Vermin doing a little bit of collaboration with Boston comedian Rob Petillo, who does musical comedy. So we have all these sort of surreal situations where they're, you know, at protests outside of political events and things like that, and they're doing comedy and music and generally just brightening up the atmosphere and you know, changing things in a very surreal way.
That sounds cool.
So Vermin, along with, can you talk a little bit about Vermin's platform? I remember there was something about toothbrushing, zombies, ponies. What party is Bernie? Is Vermin a part of?
Sounds like
Vermin is the founder of the Free Pony Party. However, he has run for president as both a Democrat and a Republican. He does want to enact mandatory toothbrushing laws, ensuring that everybody brushes their teeth. He does promise that he'll give a free pony to every American if he's elected, although it will be a federal identification pony that you have to have with you at all times. And he does intend to prepare for the zombie apocalypse, if elected, in order to put zombies on turbines to generate energy. And
Is it true that he has been running for 30 years?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I guess it's basically been since
92. That's what it says about you on your website. I found a website about your documentary.
Okay.
On Vice.com.
Oh, right, yeah. There was some time back I did an interview with them, yeah.
Yeah, it says, who is Vermin Supreme, an outsider odyssey directed by Steve Underick and funded through Kickstarter? Really? How much money did you raise on Kickstarter?
It was a little over $10,000, so that got it started, and then I managed to recruit my uncle to add a few thousand more into that as an executive producer on the film.
Oh my goodness! And did you know the Facebook page Vermin Supreme for President has over 200,000 likes?
I didn't know that. I didn't know it was that popular. Actually, I know there are several different Vermin Supreme Facebook pages. There's also a Vermin Supreme Dank Meme Stash, because there was one of those for Bernie Sanders. And, of course, he has his own personal Facebook page, and there's one for the movie as well.
Is he
I wanted to add something.
As perpetual candidate Pat Paulson?
Sorry, say that again?
Just to add something to this, caller that doesn't want to be named, Vermin Supreme is incredibly famous. So I've heard Vermin's name mentioned at many different media companies, including Rolling Stone when I was working over there.
Really?
I was at a Bernie Sanders rally in New York City, and a huge Bernie Sanders rally, and one of the speakers brought up Vermin voting for Vermin Supreme if Bernie didn't end up getting the nomination. And Vermin Supreme also, he did pretty well in the New Hampshire primary. Is that right, Steve? As far as I remember.
I think this time around he took fourth place on the Democratic ticket. So he was behind O'Malley, but there was another establishment politician. I'm forgetting his name right now. That Vermin was actually ahead of in the Democratic New Hampshire primary.
I think Vermin Supreme got
a couple of hundred votes. Yeah.
Wow, nice.
Mm,
now,
wow.
Vermin Supreme's awesome. What do you think? Like, what is his what do you think his philosophy is? And like, you know, is he commenting on the political process, or you know?
Well, yes, he definitely is.
Yeah.
He is trying to make use of absurdity to make fun of the two-party political process and to attempt to reveal its limitations.
Unfortunately, I wish you'd have called in earlier. I would have loved to heard more about Vermin Supreme. What I'd like to do is, since we only have like less than a little over a minute left.
Okay.
I want to just say this has been a great show. I would like to invite you to call back in next week, earlier this time, so that we could get more information on this.
See your documentary, Steve? Just throw it out there.
If you go to whoisverminsupreme.com, there's a link there that will allow you to watch it on Vimeo. You can rent it for $5 or buy it for $10.
Yeah, so make sure you guys check out the documentary, Who is Vermin Supreme?
was Vermin
and,
Supreme.
Steve, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you very
much. Let's continue this conversation next week.
I'd like that very much. If you can call in earlier in the show, that would be great.
Sure.
And Marilyn, friend, thank you as well. You've also enhanced the show quite a bit, and I thank you for that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So I wanted to say, everybody, have a powerful week.
Stay powerful.
You too. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks so much, guys. All right.